This is your tech news briefing for Friday, January 22nd. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. After a lucrative yet challenging year, Intel reported record annual revenue yesterday. Now, heading into 2021, the semiconductor giant faces an evolving industry with a new CEO at the helm. On today's show, our tech reporter Asa Fitch will help us take stock of Intel's 2020 and look ahead at what's next. That's after these headlines. China's big telecom carriers are asking the New York Stock Exchange to reconsider its plan to delist them. It's the latest twist in the back and forth over the company's status on the exchange. You might remember that the NYSE changed its mind a couple of times before finally deciding to boot the companies. There was some confusion over whether an executive order from President Trump applied to the companies. The carrier's request came just hours after President Biden was sworn in. Biden is already in the process of reversing some of President Trump's key policies. Shares of the two largest car companies in the U.S., Ford and General Motors, have surged about 35% this month. Both Ford and GM have been working to develop electric vehicle technology, and the stock moves are being seen as a sign that investors' bullishness for EVs could be extending to legacy carmakers, not just younger companies like Tesla. By the way, we talked on yesterday's show about why it's so hard for those legacy carmakers to pivot to electric, in case you want to cue that episode up next. The enthusiasm for EVs isn't just confined to the U.S. The Chinese electric car maker BYD just raised $3.9 billion from a stock sale. It's the biggest equity financing for the company since it listed nearly 20 years ago. And in its earnings report yesterday, IBM disclosed another year of declines in earnings and revenue. But the company said it expects to see growth in 2021. IBM's new CEO, Arvind Krishna, has been working to grow the company's hybrid cloud and AI capabilities, including through its recent acquisition of the software company Red Hat. Krishna said he expects to see those efforts pay off in the year to come. Intel also reported earnings yesterday. After the break, we'll dig into what they tell us about the way forward for the legacy chipmaker. That's next. Intel reported its full-year earnings for 2020 yesterday, posting a record annual revenue. But net income came in at $20.9 billion, just slightly lower than the year before. The news caps off a difficult year for the semiconductor giant, which has struggled to find its place in a fast-evolving chip industry. And it highlights the challenges that Intel's new CEO, Pat Gelsinger, will face in the years to come. Gelsinger said last night that he'd be making some big moves for the company, including outsourcing production of some of its chips. To recap what we've seen from Intel this year and what we should expect moving forward, we have our reporter Asa Fitch on the line. Hey, Asa, thanks for joining me.
Hi, thanks.
So let's start with a look back at Intel's 2020. You know, you'd think with rising demand for at-home tech like PCs, Intel would have had a pretty good year. So how did the business fare? What were the big takeaways for Intel in 2020?
I mean, it was a very up and down year. They had record revenues. So this is the most Intel has ever made in terms of sales in a year. But there were some negatives this year. One was that they got a lot of demand for PCs because people are working from home. But largely that demand was things like lower cost laptops that don't bring Intel the kind of margins that it would take to boost its profits. So its profit numbers weren't as good as the company might have hoped. So it was kind of a great sales year, but maybe not as good of a profit year as it could have been. At the same time, Intel is looking at making major transformations to its business, including outsourcing some of its chips, some of its CPUs, to avoid falling further behind its rivals. And that's a major shift in how Intel does business. It would be unprecedented, basically, for Intel, which has always made its own chips and is, you know, takes major pride in its factories.
And of course, the other big headline for Intel in 2020 was the sudden ouster of its CEO, Bob Swan. Can you just remind us how that came about?
Yeah, so Bob Swan has been the CEO of Intel for a couple of years. And, you know, he was the former CFO and he had been leading Intel through this very rocky period in its technological growth. Intel has struggled to engineer the next super fast generation of its chips. And as it struggled, other competitors have caught up and even surpassed Intel in some cases. And that's led to Intel losing its market share in CPUs for people's PCs and for servers that go into big data centers. So Bob has overseen what's been a very challenging time for Intel. and the board decided just recently that it was time to get somebody new to lead the company.
And the person they chose was Pat Gelsinger. Who is this guy, and what should we know about him?
Well, Pat is an Intel veteran. That's the number one thing. He was the company's first ever CTO in the early 2000s. He spent 3 decades at Intel. He started his career at Intel, actually, and then he left and he eventually became the CEO of VMware, a company called VMware, which is a company that does software that is used in servers and big cloud computing contexts. And so this is kind of a return home for Pat Gelsinger. And now he's going to take the mantle and try to lead Intel through this very challenging period where it's technology, it's leadership, which is sort of the cornerstone of Intel's prestige and power in the market, is really under challenge. And the future is a little uncertain.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that. What does the competitive landscape look like for Intel, and what do we know about how Gelsinger is going to navigate it?
Well, the challenge for Intel is enormous. For one, they're facing huge competition from Advanced Micro Devices, which is a company that makes CPUs, and they're facing challenges from NVIDIA, which last year became the largest chip company in the U.S. by market value. And there are numerous other challenges in their manufacturing strategy and otherwise that Pat Gelsinger is going to have to wrangle with all at the same time. So he comes into the company at a period of major tumult and uncertainty, and he's going to have to really try to right the ship there.
And beyond just fending off challenges, what is Gelsinger's strategy for Intel? We know that he plans to outsource some of Intel's chip production. That's something that you said earlier would be a pretty big change. But what else can we expect from him?
Yeah, I mean, Pat is an engineer. So the hope is that with somebody leading the company who's an engineer, the company can kind of return to its roots as a very technology-focused company that will invest what it needs to invest in developing the next fastest chips and will bring in engineers who can also aid the company in that quest. How he's going to do that isn't quite clear. He is starting as CEO actually next in the middle of next month. He's yet to articulate his vision for the company. But one thing that's known about Pat from talking to his friends and associates, he's not afraid of challenges, and he is a bold person who's willing to take risks when needed, and he's pretty confident in what he does. So I think whatever choices he makes, he's going to be pretty convinced that they're the right ones. But it remains to be seen exactly what his strategy will be, how he's going to overcome these major competitive threats and technological issues Intel is facing.
All right, Isa, you're our expert here. So, what are you going to be watching in 2021, not just at Intel, but in the semiconductor industry more broadly?
We're seeing a lot of consolidation, a lot of companies trying to buy each other. So that's going to create potentially a number of much larger companies that will be going to battle. There's also at the same time a global shortage of chips. Lots of people want chips that go into cars, that go into other things, electronics, smartphones, et cetera. Well, those chips don't necessarily always exist in the quantities that they're needed in. So the industry is going through a number of major kinds of challenges and having a bunch of strains at this point, and we'll see how it kind of plays out and whether those things can be resolved. And Intel has long been the leader in the industry. That leadership position is being challenged like never before, some would say. So it's going to be an interesting year.
All right, that's our reporter, Aza Fitch. Thanks, Aza.
All right, thanks a lot.
That's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley, and Kateri Yoakum is the executive producer of Wall Street Journal Podcasts. I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.